Hello and welcome to the Endpoint Zone with Brad Anderson. This is the October edition, now codenamed 1610. Can't think why we're doing
monthly
that.
Monthly releases.
Absolutely, yeah. We might as well have monthly release number shows as well. This month has been pretty interesting. We have a whole load of new features inside of enterprise mobility and security. Lots of new things to talk about. But very first up, Ignite was just a little earlier.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. You know, one of the things that I always do when I come back from an event like Ignite is I sit down and I capture all the thoughts about what I, you know, what I learned, what things I saw was different this time than last time, and just kind of share what I learned, what my takeaways were. So first of all, you know, you kept me busy.
Oh yeah.
Simon set up meetings. I met Monday through Thursday back to back one on one meetings with customers that accounted for more than 2 million EMS licenses.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was remarkable. And so here are the things that I took away from those conversations. One, the level of understanding of what enterprise mobility means, you know, thinking holistically is really beginning to sink in. I was really happy with just how much people understood what identity-based security meant and the importance of identity in terms of what mobility meant. And the conversations that I had, you know, in hour after hour was much more comprehensive, much more complete, much deeper than what I've had the last 2 or 3 years. And so one, I think as an industry, the understanding of needing to move from these individual point products that people have deployed over the last couple of years to a comprehensive solution that gets rid of the seams, gets rid of the gaps, and works holistically, people got that for sure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And we had lots of people wanting to talk to us, which was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I walked through the lab one day and people were stacked up 8, 10, 12 deep, and I went, oh my word. You know, I'm ecstatic about it, but man, those people are going to be tired. All the EMS team is going to be tired at the end of the day.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think everyone was pretty tired.
That's awesome though. That's number one. Number two, Windows 10 deployments are happening.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that one of the things that I took away from that was most organizations that I spoke with are not going out and wiping and loading all their Windows 10 devices. Mm-hmm. They are making Windows 10 the new standard, whether that's, you know, tomorrow, whether that's a month from right now. Every new PC coming in is going to be Windows 10, but they're all rolling it out.
Yeah, and they're rolling it out with our stack, which is the interesting thing.
Yeah, and for the first time, we actually shared some of the data around that. You know, so between the telemetry that comes back to Config Manager and the telemetry that comes back to Windows, we get a pretty comprehensive view of what's out there. It's fascinating. Of all of the Windows 10 devices that are being deployed in the enterprise, we see about 1 million new Windows 10 being deployed in the enterprise every week. Mm-hmm. Of those millions of devices in the enterprise, more than 99% are being managed by Config Manager.
Yeah.
Okay, Config Manager is the tool that is being used to manage, deploy, and then manage Windows 10. And it's funny, there's a lot in the industry talking about, you know, unified Windows management. You know, we've done this for years.
Yeah, this is our bread and butter.
Yeah, and so let's actually talk about what the definition of Windows 10 management means, or unified Windows 10 management. Every organization I spoke with is going to have a mix of Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 10, Windows 10 traditional management, Windows 10 modern management, and they're going to have that mix for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
They need one tool to manage all that. Only Config Manager can do that. There's no other tool in the industry that can do that.
Yeah.
So when people are really talking about unified Windows 10 management, they're talking about Config Manager, and we see it in the telemetry. You know, literally, there are only a few thousand devices that are being managed today through anything other than Config Manager. 99.5% plus are being managed by Config Manager. And so we were ecstatic to see the level of interest in Windows 10 moving forward with deployments. And I loved how many people walked into the meetings with Surfaces.
Yeah, that was kind of amazing, actually, watching that, people unbagging them as they were walking in. Pretty incredible.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Surface, I got to show this to everybody. This is my my new keyboard. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Yeah, love
Should
that
be a
one.
Good game weekend.
Okay, number three, what I learned. People are deploying the EMS components rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, conversation after conversation, you know, Intune is deployed, Azure Active Directory is deployed, we're getting ready to deploy Azure Information Protection. And what that brought was the level of conversations was just so much deeper, so much more about what the challenges were or what the opportunities were. Not, should I do it or tell me about these things? People understood what they were, they're deploying. You know, just a couple of data points on that. You know, it's funny, we now, as we look at the number of devices being managed, for example, through Intune, it's all about, hey, when's the next million? And so, you know, we just crossed another million that went in, and it was 50% faster than the previous million, which was 75% faster than the one before that. And so we see, you know, organizations rapidly deploying. My favorite part of the day, 8:30 a.m. There's an email that goes out to everybody on the Intune team, and it shows us, you know, all the telemetry, what's happened in the last 24 hours, how many devices have shown up in the last 24 hours. That is my favorite moment of the day, because I just sit there and look at that and I go, yes, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And we can actually look at that telemetry on any device as well.
Absolutely. Cool. In fact, I pull it all the time on my phone. Yeah. I actually take a look at it through Power BI on my iPhone. The last thing that I would say as well is people understand what this concept of modern management is, and they're asking for the path forward to it. You know, when we talk about modern management, that doesn't mean MDM management. Mm-hmm. Modern management means, you know, relying upon Microsoft to do more on your behalf. Let us take care of imaging the PCs. Don't worry about maintaining your images. Fascinating data point on that. 25% of the cost in most organizations that are associated with the total cost of ownership of Windows is image management.
Yeah.
You know, let us do all your patching through, you know, things like Config Manager, Intune, Windows Update for Business. And the way that I think people are going to do this, well, not I think I'm seeing it, is they're going to use Config Manager. Config Manager is the bridge. Mm-hmm. You're using it to manage your Windows 7, Windows 8, and your existing Windows 10 devices. And you're going to use that to upgrade to the new Windows 10 device. But then you're also going to use that as you migrate from traditional management to modern management, where you're relying upon us to do more. Config Manager is your bridge to get from where you're at today to modern management.
Yeah, absolutely. What else did you think about and see at Ignite?
Yeah, the other thing that I got feedback on time after time, it was the level of integration across Microsoft, the integrated scenarios that people saw.
Yeah.
And at least for me, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes, what we've done when we've brought all the telemetry together in this thing that we call the Intelligent Security Graph enables us to do things that, you know, are quite honestly like magical. I mean, I was sitting there getting ready for the keynote or the session that I was giving, and we're looking at all these demonstrations, and I just sat back and went, this is stuff we've dreamed about. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be fun. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But that was the biggest piece of feedback alone was people said, I can't believe how different Microsoft is today than 2 years ago. You guys are super connected to us. You're listening to us. You're innovating faster than you ever have before. And the level of integration across the scenarios, keep it up.
Yeah, it was amazing to see all of that just come
together.
How
about you? Any other takeaways you took away?
Actually, one of the most amazing things for me was going into your foundation session for the event, and actually just walking into that room, huge kind of theater style event, seating in excess of 1,000 people. But not only that, several thousand. And not only that, there were people sat on the floor in the aisles because they just wanted to be in that room.
And they had to open up
the spillover room as well. Yeah. I mean, that was just absolutely phenomenal to see that many people interested in it.
So maybe, you know, I sent you a couple of slides. Let's talk about a couple of those things, you know. And let's start with this analogy that we came up with. You know, we were trying to think of the best way to help people understand the change that we had to do in terms of the change that people have to do as they think about what modern management is and et cetera, et cetera. So we started with this particular castle, okay? Mm-hmm. This castle is called Bamburgh Castle. It sits in northern England, and there's been a fortification on this point for more than 2,000 years.
Okay? Wow.
In the 13th and 14th century, this was the most secure place on earth. Army after army tried to assault this, and it stood tall, it stood firm. You know, and the king, the riches, and his people, they were all safe here, okay? But then during the War of Roses, the Earl of Warwick.
That's it. That's right.
Simon had to correct me here. It actually is spelled W-A-R-W-I-C-K, but that second W is silent. Okay. Yep. The Earl of Warwick, during the War of Roses in the year 1464, came to attack this castle. Now, what was different on this attack is he brought cannons with him. First of all, he laid siege to the castle for 9 months, fruitless, nothing. No impact
just
at all.
Just couldn't get in.
And he brought these three giant cannons. And, you know, at that point in time, a castle like this had never fallen to a cannon. Mm-hmm. And I can just imagine, you can imagine, like, you know, the guards up in here, they're kind of having a holy grail moment, like, yeah, go ahead and bring those cannons, you know.
Yeah,
I laugh at your face, you know. Yeah. What was different, though, was these cannons were incredibly accurate from a distance.
Mm.
I think it was June of 1464, these three cannons started going off in unison, and it just systematically picked the wall apart, and the castle fell.
Wow.
First time in history a castle had fallen to cannons. And at first, you know, everyone said, well, how do we build a stronger castle? But the reality is, old technology, old defenses were no longer successful against new attacks. And at the same time, the population was growing to the point where you couldn't hold everybody in the castle. So you couldn't do it in a fortress like this, and where you had to think of different ways in order to protect you, your people, and your riches. And I think there's so many similarities to this of what we see people having to deal with right now as their data moves to the cloud. Mm-hmm. You know, we built castles around our companies for decades.
Yeah.
These are the perimeters that we built.
Yeah, a nice firewall.
That's right. Yeah. And that was the primary line of defense. But now as the data moves outside of the perimeter and it's in the cloud, these perimeter-based security models no longer work, and you have to move to an identity-based security model. And that is the most important, I think, learning of this is organizations have to fundamentally change the way that they're protecting their assets, because you can no longer, they're not contained behind the firewall. And so this concept of identity being the new perimeter is absolutely the most significant change, the most important thing that every organization has to get their hands around. And I was just super pleased as I heard people kind of repeating back to me the importance of identity, the importance of what identity does in this modern world.
Yeah, it is amazing actually how many times you have the conversation with customers and they haven't kind of reassessed their security model, and then they suddenly have an epiphany moment where actually they realize that unless they're embracing identity-driven security, they're actually leaving themselves wide open.
And some of the most recent research that I think is just super fascinating on this is, you know, there's been some research then that talks about the success of phishing attacks. Mm-hmm. And the research tells us that when a phishing attack does make it through a defense, and to be super clear, we think we block, well, we know we block the majority of these with Office 365. We know that 30% of individuals who receive an email in a phishing attack actually open the file, mm-hmm. or excuse me, open the email.
Yep.
And 12% of those individuals actually open the file, click on the file, and they do it in 4 minutes.
Wow.
And so what that tells us is for every phishing attack that comes in, you know, 10, 12, 15% of the users that receive it open it, their user credentials are compromised, and just like this right here, you now have people coming in masquerading as employees of you, and they're not, they're attackers, and they're infiltrating, and they're stealing, they're doing damage. And so we talk about identity management, but even more important than identity management is identity protection.
Yes.
And ultimately, identity protection is about being able to see all the signals and be able to see the pattern that you can clearly identify, this user account is being used to attack me. And that really becomes a big data, a data analysis, a machine learning set of algorithms, and you have to have a tremendous amount of data to be successful on that.
Yeah.
And so we spent a lot of time talking about that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that the Microsoft Intelligent Security Graph is built on, is getting all of that signal and intelligence back into the graph so that you can act on it.
So let's even talk about that for a minute. And so let's talk about this concept of the Intelligent Security Graph. Let me give you a little bit of background on this. You know, when Satya came over from Bing and came over to lead Cloud and Enterprise, I can remember it was February of 2011, one of the things that we were working in Cloud and Enterprise here was a place for us to bring all the signal and all the telemetry back from all of our services. And Satya said, well, why build that? Why not use what we've already built inside of Bing? And so what's been happening over the last several years is the company's been taking all the signal that we receive, whether it be consumer services, enterprise services, and we've been bringing all that data, all that telemetry, all that signal back into one place. And to just kind of give you an idea of the size of this, we are adding hundreds of gigabytes of data every second. Okay, so let me just kind of paint the picture for everybody here about what kind of data comes into this thing called the Intelligent Security Graph. So first of all, for example, we every single month, let's go ahead and take, we have these 200 services, consumer and enterprise, and every one of those is now sending it back to the same place. Every month we patch over 1 billion PCs, okay? And as we patch those 1 billion PCs every month, that sends telemetry back to us. And it's amazing what we see, you know? It's amazing what we see in terms of attacks, you know, tactics, those types of pieces. But every piece of that data comes into the security graph. We do over 300 billion authentications between Microsoft Security Account and Azure Active Directory. Every time we authenticate a user, telemetry comes back to us, you know, the user, the device they're working on, you know, different characteristics about it. You know, we scan over 200 billion emails every month looking for malware, malicious URLs, everything we learn, all the telemetry goes into the graph. And then finally, you know, we scan over 18 billion pages with Bing every single month, and everything we learn that goes in the graph. And that's just kind of some examples. All the attacks on Azure, all the attacks on Xbox, all the attacks on Outlook.com, all of that is signal that comes into us and we put into the graph. And now what that allows us to do is we have all this amazing data, and using machine learning and data analytics, we can look for the patterns that constitute an attack, and then we can literally assign risks, we can assign policy, and you can take action based upon that. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so maybe the right thing to do right here is actually just give you an example. That's the concept of the graph. let's go onto my PC and let's actually give you an example of how it actually works. So what you're looking at here is Azure Active Directory Identity Protection. And this right here, to me, is the best example of how the intelligent security graph is being put to work on behalf of our customers. This is released. We released this the week before Ignite, so this has been since the last time we filmed the last endpoint zone. But let me walk through the concepts here, and we'll talk about what the graph is doing.
Yeah.
So the first thing that we're able to see here is I'm able to see things like the events that we're tracking inside of the graph that we can then associate risk to. So here's some examples. If we see that there's a set of leaked credentials, that means those credentials are up for sale on the internet right now. That's a really high risk.
Yeah, that means that somebody's password is literally in plain text on the internet.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's the highest risk that there is. If we see that a device or a user is logging in from devices that's anonymizing its IP address, that's a signal.
Yeah.
Why would a legitimate user be working on a device that's hiding its IP address?
Yeah, there's one thing that I heard about this as well, is that obviously the Tor network is used to hide these often. And one of the interesting data points from that, you'll find the link for this in the show notes, but there's actually data that says that 94% of all of the logons that come from Tor are actually malicious. Yeah.
Wow, 94%.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't
know that. Incredible. Yeah.
So maybe we ought to move that to high. This impossible travel. Mm-hmm. So this is when a user logs in or an identity is authenticated in two different physical locations in an impossible time frame.
Wow.
You logged in London and then an hour later logged in Redmond.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last one here is a user is logging in from an unfamiliar location, a location that user usually doesn't work from. But these are all risk. And so what we do is every time a user comes in to use one of our services, we look for these things. And then if we see them, we actually assign a risk score to every identity. Every identity in Azure Active Directory has a long-running risk score associated with it.
Okay,
so if we see, for example, that a user is authenticated, or the identity is being used multiple times from a Tor browser, that actually kicks up that risk score. And so we have this historical view where we have that risk score. But then the other thing that we do is every time a user comes in to access a service with Azure Active Directory, we do a real-time determination of risk at that moment. So there's a long-running risk score, and there's a real-time risk score. Now what you can do is you can go build conditional access policies based on risk.
Yes.
It's just amazing. Cool. So I'm going to come in here now, and let's go take a look at this sign-in risk policy. So I can come in here, and I can say, the typical things. I can identify what users I want to associate this to. But right here is the risk that I can put in place. So I can come and say, I want to build a risk policy. And if the risk is medium or above, I want the following things to take place before I give the user access to the service that's being asked for.
Okay, that sounds like a pretty sensible way of doing this.
Correct. And then what I can do is I can come in here and do things like, well, you know what? If I see that, I'm going to allow access, but it's going to require multi-factor authentication. Or I'm going to allow access, but I'm going to require the user to change their password. So this is amazing because it's a risk-based way for IT to be able to express the risk that they would tolerate based upon all this information that we're collecting in the intelligent security graph. And real-time, at the time of accessing the service or the app, we'll do that real-time determination, we'll look at the long-running risk score, and then we can either allow or deny access to the service based upon risk.
That's pretty cool. And I think one of the things that I realized immediately there is that it actually allows us to remove some of, say, the multi-factor auth prompts when they're not necessary. Mm-hmm. So whereas previously you would have had to blanketly apply multi-factor auth to everywhere that somebody was coming in from, now you can actually say they only have to use multi-factor auth
if there's something suspicious.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's
going to
be
the thing about
experience.
MFA, it should be every IT professional's best friend.
Yeah.
Because it is the best way to be able to block an attack when you have compromised user accounts. But users fatigue of it.
Yes.
If they're getting challenged with that multi-factor authentication too often, they get tired of it, they get fatigued, and they try to figure out ways around it. Mm-hmm. And so what we've built here with EMS is using this knowledge, this intelligence, this is all in the intelligent cloud, we only pop up a multi-factor authentication to the user when we think that there is something suspicious and we want to verify the user is who they say they are.
That's amazing. I think that's one of the things that really pops at Ignite as well. People
really
love this kind of concept.
And then the last thing here is you can actually then get a view of how many users would be impacted. It's a kind of a pre-flight.
Wow.
And so this literally gives us the ability to be able to go and say, no one would be blocked, but there'd be 124 out of 1,027 that would get an MFA challenge.
So that means that you can actually assess how many people you might have to help have on your help desk to be able to help these people
out. Right. That's right. Or it could also be that I must have done something wrong if every one of my users is going to get challenged.
Yes.
So it's a pre-flight, and it kind of gives you an idea of impact. But this is part of EMS. This is, again, Azure Active Directory Identity Protection. Nobody else in the world can build something like this because you have to have that data that's being put to work for users and organizations. Microsoft uniquely has that data in the Intelligent Security Graph, and this is what identity protection is.
It's an incredible set of features to be a part of the product and to be able to use in so many different ways. So that kind of takes us through Ignite, I think. Trying to cover what was new in October.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're still in October at the time we're recording this, so these features are still actually rolling out to some customers right now. What were some of the stuff that we actually released inside of, we'll start off with Intune, in the 16.10 release?
Big month for us. So first of all, one of the most important things that we released was the ability to be able to do conditional access policy based upon apps. Mm-hmm. What we're hearing, I'll give you an example of this. Many organizations are coming to us and saying, you know, we want to restrict email access to Outlook only. And so now with what we released in 16.10 of Intune, you can go build that conditional access policy and you can get as specific as saying only these apps can access these services. Okay, so that was number one.
It just so happens that if we take a look at my iPad, I've actually got this set up.
Let's check it out.
We can see it. So in this case, this is actually my iPad and I've added my Exchange Online email account into the iPad's native email. But my organization has actually configured this in a way that is going to say I'm only allowed to have access from the Outlook app. So what's happened here is I've received this really nice email. It's the only email I've received in my inbox, and it's telling me how I can get started to actually have access to my corporate email.
And this is really important. Our job is not to block access.
Yeah.
Our job is to make sure users get access to what they need in the way that IT requires it. And so this is great because you're just not saying you can't get access to email. It actually tells you what you have to do. You have to get Outlook.
Yeah. It's a really lovely way of having access to this. So if I go and hit get started now, it's going to bounce us over to a page which is going to tell the user exactly what they need to do. They need to get the Outlook app. They hit get the app, then takes them over into the iTunes store. And it's going to find the app inside of the iTunes store for them. There we go. In this case, I've already got Outlook installed, pre-configured, so I can just hit open. It's going to open up Outlook for me. And you'll see this has already had my mobile application management app restrictions applied to it. So it's actually going to pop up, hopefully, and ask me for a password and a PIN code in just a second. There we go. It's asking me for my PIN code. Enter my very secure PIN. And then that's allowing me access to my email, including all of the very sensitive email inside of Outlook, but it's fully protected by the app restriction policies inside of Intune.
This is something people have asked for years.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's nervous about the amount of information that flows through email, and they want to get very, restrictive on how they manage or how they allow email to go onto devices. Increasingly, we see this one, and increasingly, we hear organizations saying, we just want to have users use Outlook. And, you know, it's interesting. One of the questions that I've been asking people lately has been, so is it a challenge to get your users to use Outlook, or is there enough of a carrot there that people say, oh, I get why I should use Outlook? As you see the rest of Office being built into Outlook, like the most recent version of Outlook that just released had Skype for Business built into it. So now when you're in the calendaring of Outlook, it's one click and a Skype call can automatically come up. And so what I'm hearing from IT professionals is as Outlook itself becomes more and more rich on iOS and on Android, so it has similar capabilities to what Outlook has on Windows, there's a huge carrot there to tell users you're more productive and the data is more secure if you're using Outlook, and that's the approach that they've been using to get customers to, their users to use Outlook.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the other thing I want to mention here is there was a significant set of updates made to Outlook as well last month.
There was.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And the most important one of that, and many people who have been waiting to use Outlook know that we had this cache of the mailbox up on AWS, okay? And the concept there was, you know, we were having the back end do a bunch of work for you, and that data was secure, it was encrypted, we actually used the device to encrypt the data, so it was actually very safe and secure. But many organizations said, we're not gonna use Outlook until that's in the secure Azure cloud or the Microsoft cloud. Mm-hmm. Well, last month, we finished the work on that, and now there is no longer a cache, it's just your Office 365 mailbox.
Yeah.
And so, you know, organizations, I mean, like the backlog of organizations that I've been working with over the last 18 months that have been waiting for this, you know, we're seeing Outlook deployed immensely across the enterprise. Interesting data point here. Looking at the Intune telemetry, 85% of all the devices that have MAM enabled on it have Outlook installed.
Yeah.
85%.
It's huge, isn't it? I mean, yeah. It's one of the main reasons that people go down that route.
Yep. It's the highest rated email app in the store. If you go do a search on Outlook, you know, people say, hey, this is the best email app for my Gmail. Mm-hmm. The team has done a wonderful, wonderful job. And of course, all the EMS capabilities have been built into it.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I love about the Outlook app, using it on a daily basis on my own iPhone, is actually something that completely differentiates it from that inbox email experience. I actually have Skype for Business built directly into Outlook. So I can just schedule a meeting and add Skype for Business details right there and then.
Yep.
And that is actually life-changing when you're mobile.
The number of times that I'm on the go and I just one click and up to the Skype for Business call and I'm participating in it. I don't have to go try to type any kind of a pin or anything. It really is cool.
Yeah, it really is an amazing way of being able to get this.
So that was a big update, you know, MAM conditional access, the updates to Outlook. We released Android for Work support.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now there have been a lot of people waiting for that. You know, Android for Work is not broadly used yet. You know, so that was one of the reasons why we hadn't done the work yet. But now we're beginning to hear people wanting to talk about it, wanting to experiment with it. So Android for Work went in. We supported iOS 10 on day zero.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. We also built in the conditional access capabilities for Windows 10.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually have that to be able to show as well. So if we take a quick look at my machine. So I'm inside of my browser. It's telling me that didn't work. I just wanted to have a nice blank screen. So I'm just going to go to outlook.office.com, so my Outlook email. And we're going to see that that's going to ask me for authentication, my password. And then as you'd expect, it's going to take me into my corporate email. Now, I'm just going to go do something slightly different here. I'm going to go into the into the Intune console. And I'm just going to go and enable conditional access for Windows 10, meaning that it's actually now this device has to be domain joined or compliant, meaning that it's got to pass the conditional access policy that I've already set inside of this environment. I'm also going to block access on non-compliant devices for Outlook web access on the same platforms as Outlook. So I'll just go ahead and save that policy. Okay, so now that policy is saved, let's have a quick look at my compliance policy. Go and edit my policy. What we're going to see here is that I am requiring some certain things like PIN settings on the device. I'm also, in this case, I don't have encryption turned on, but I could do. A little bit further down as well, I have the ability to require Windows device health attestation. So what that's going to do is actually talk to the Windows device health attestation service, which is going to independently verify that a Windows device has been encrypted, has a PIN set, has a couple of other things.
It booted without malware in it.
Absolutely, yep. No boot kits are installed, any of that kind of stuff. So I hit save on my policy, cancel it in this case. Now if I go back to my Windows 10 PC, just here, I'm going to close up Outlook. And we'll open it up once more time. Go back to that same URL. Going to ask me to auth in.
Yeah, so conditional access on Windows, on iOS, and on Android, and only EMS and Intune are the ones that can actually set those policies.
Yeah, it's a great set of features to be able to apply.
Another big thing that we released in 16.10 as well was the Lookout integration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked a little bit about this last month when we talked about the two, you know, the iOS vulnerabilities that were found in Trident and Pegasus. So let me talk a little bit more about what we're doing with Lookout, and I would encourage people to go to the blog that I wrote about this. But effectively, what we're doing is we're doing a cloud-to-cloud sharing of data. And so what happens is Lookout, you know, gets every app that's on a device gets sent up to Lookout. Lookout has the knowledge of every app on iOS and every app on Windows. I think they told me that they actually see 70,000 new apps every single day. They have this very sophisticated technology that helps them understand, is there malware in the application? They actually have this technology that's able to go take a look at how the application has been built. And as far as I'm concerned, I think they've got the best technology in terms of understanding vulnerabilities and malware inside of the apps on iOS and on Android. So much that, in fact, you know, I actually recommended, and we did, we went and invested in Lookout, so, you know, we have an investment in them, and we use it internally.
Yeah.
And the policy that we're enforcing here at Microsoft is if you're on an iOS or an Android device, conditional access requires that you also have to have Lookout. installed in order to get access to email.
Yeah, and that's a fantastic extra set of features built directly into conditional access policy.
So what we're doing now is Lookout shares with us now. We've done the work to actually synchronize the objects in Lookout and the objects in Intune, and we actually now get a risk score back for every single device. And there's no risk, low, medium, or high, and you can now go build those same conditional access policies that we just looked at with what Lookout brings.
Awesome.
Okay, and so if Lookout sees that there's a particular application, like at one time, every single flashlight app on Android had malware in it.
Wow.
Every single flashlight app, exactly.
Wow.
And so now conditional access based upon that, and that cloud-to-cloud integration that we built with Lookout is unique. There's not any other solution that takes, you know, an anti-malware solution, a security solution like Lookout, and an EMM solution like Intune, and then merge them in that cloud-to-cloud communication.
Pretty awesome stuff.
Yeah, the last thing I'll just mention real quickly is I had a chance to learn a lot from the Lookout guys over the last month about, you know, these vulnerabilities in Trident and Pegasus. And one of the things that amazed me about it is just the reminder of that these attacks, this is enterprise software.
Yeah.
You know, what's come to light in the last couple of months now, or the last couple of weeks, is you can actually go find the invoices where this Israeli company that, you know, found these vulnerabilities and created the attacks on them, sold licenses to, like, the Peruvian government. It was something like $8 million for 300 licenses. And so they paid $8 million to be able to attack 300 specific people. But there was maintenance, there was support, there was volume discounts.
Wow, so the actual malware is
enterprise software.
Just like enterprise software.
Exactly.
Wow.
And, you know, and it's no longer a factor of, do you have somebody that wants to attack you that has the means? If they've got money, they can go buy these attacks. If you've got IP that somebody wants or that a government wants, you're being attacked right now.
Wow.
So that combination of Lookout with what we do in the enterprise mobility and security solution, you know, it's just a great combination.
Yeah, these things did just come together incredibly well. We also had new features inside of Azure Active Directory last month as well. A couple of things went into preview. A lot of folks be very, very happy about PowerShell 2 for Azure Active Directory becoming available.
Everyone wants anything on the command line.
Yeah, they really want to be able to script all that stuff. So that is out there now. As is, and I'm quite excited about this, configurable token timelines. That actually means that you can set your tokens up for Azure Active Directory, the authentication tokens, to expire after a certain length of time that might be better for your organization.
Including infinite.
Absolutely, yeah. You could make an infinite token, meaning that people would never have to auth up again. That could be a little bit risky. Yeah. But you could also kind of reduce that down. And it can mean that people don't have to use their multi-factor authentication as often. So you can get to a better user experience with that. And then the other thing that that the AD guys released was Azure AD Domain Services actually went GA. So that means that it's very, very easy to be able to lift and shift those on-prem workloads up into Azure AD without having to lift and shift domain controllers in order to make that work. So an amazing set of functionality.
I think it's such a great example of a hybrid scenario and how what you've done on-premises can now be done up in the cloud. The other thing we should talk about real quickly with respect to EMS is Azure Information Protection also was made generally available in the last month. We did the demonstration of that last month, and that's what gives users the ability to be able to label and classify data, but more importantly, you can have policies that IT sets up that auto-labels and auto-classifies data, and that's now generally available. Boy, huge interest in that during Ignite, like off the chart interest.
It was actually amazing. Inside of the session, you got a round of applause for showing rights management rules. That was the first time.
Who says security isn't fun and sexy?
It was the first time I think of anybody ever seen anybody applaud for that. So that's absolutely incredible.
Now, there's one thing that I want to maybe kind of end up on today. You were sitting there showing the Silverlight console, and I got to be honest, man, I cannot wait to scrap that thing. We've been waiting for a couple of years to get this done, and we've been waiting to be able to get onto the Azure console. And so what I thought I would show here is I want to show people where this integrated EMS console is going. And so what I'm going to show you here, if you can turn over to my PC, is I want to give you a view of the evolution of that identity protection we were talking about just a minute ago as we combine identity protection with device management and application management and give you this comprehensive risk management solution. Okay, so you know, what I want to show you here I got to tell you, this is cool. I mean, every time I look at this and I go like, man, we're just like certain number of months away from being completely out of that that Silverlight console. So let me walk you through the concept here. I'm going to create a new policy. And what we're going to create here is a policy that allows IT to be able to express in very easy to understand language and very easy to configure here the rules under which they're going to allow a user and a device and an app to access an app or a service. Now, what we've enabled here by bringing this all together is IT can now express in a very easy way what risks they're willing to tolerate for users accessing it, and they can have different risks for different services. But it's such a powerful combination of bringing these different categories together. So let's go walk through it. So the first thing, like you would expect, I can go and I can do, I can identify what users I'm going to assign, I can select this to, I can do all users, or I can do it to a selected set of users. I can go out and define which apps I'm going to build this policy for. Again, it can be all, or I can go in and I can get selective on this. And so I can go in and I can do, you know, services that are in the cloud, I can do services that are on premises. In this case, I'm going to say, let's go build a policy for, say, Exchange and for SharePoint. Now, one of the cool things about this is one of the things in EMS is this solution we call Azure App Proxy. Mm-hmm. And what that allows us to do is take all your web apps that are on-premise and expose them as if they were cloud services. Those would all show up here. So this isn't just your cloud apps.
Yeah,
this can be all your on-premises apps as well, so you can build these conditional access policies for it. Okay. And then what I'm able to do is I can now go define the conditions under which I will allow access. And again, this would be the conditions under which I'm going to allow access to SharePoint and to Exchange. And so this is just amazing what I think we've done here. So let me go ahead and scroll over here. So let's now go look at the conditions under which I can define a policy. So first of all, I can do that user sign-in risk. This is what we showed you just a minute ago with respect to Azure Active Directory Identity Protection. This is that long-running risk or that real-time mm-hmm. risk score that gets associated with every single user. And so I can go and define what risk I want. I can go and I can put specific policies in that dictate what I want for every operating system. First of all, which operating system I'm going to allow. And then, for example, if I select iOS here, what this is going to do is this is now going to default to the configuration that I have defined in my MDM policy for iOS. Mm-hmm. And the policy that I'm building is I can say I will only allow access to the services if the iOS devices meet the configuration policy that I've configured in my MDM policies.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay. Yep. This is where we bring in what we just released in terms of MAM conditional access. And so in this case right here, if I'm building something for Exchange, I can say, listen, I'm going to allow access from a browser, or I'm going to allow it only from specific applications. But this is where we can now dictate what apps we're going to allow to access a service. We can do things like location, am I on a corporate network, am I not on a corporate network? And then what you're going to see happen here is below this, you're going to see all of our partners start to fill in here. Uh-huh. This is where Lookout will come into in the new console. Mm-hmm. Okay, but now that I get this all built out, I can now go build what the access policy is. So I've defined the conditions, and now I can go in here and say, I'm going to allow access if the device is compliant or if they're coming in from a managed app, and I can make that be an either or an and. Mm-hmm. To me, this is the most powerful thing that I think I've ever worked on in my life, because this allows IT to very easily express the risk conditions based upon user, device, app, mm-hmm. location, and then partners like Lookout and others bringing in other risk vectors. And real time, when the user is going to access that service, we do that real time determination on all those factors and then grant or allow access. It's just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It really does bring everything together for conditional access into one single location. But more than that, for the whole of enterprise mobility and security, all comes into the Azure console. Yeah.
And I think, again, you know, if we've talked for a couple of years on the endpoint zone here, the importance of these spaces converging. Mm-hmm. If you've got a separate identity solution and a separate MDM solution, you know, and just go, you have these point solutions, you can't do this, because it really, no one can go and build this integrated experience. Now, the other thing I want to mention here real quickly is this is far more than just an integrated console. All of this is just making calls down to what we call the Microsoft Graph. Mm-hmm. Now, there's the Intelligent Security Graph, and then there's the Microsoft Graph.
Yeah.
Think of the Microsoft Graph as the API for all of Microsoft that you use to configure and administer things. So, for example, Office 365, it rides on top of the Microsoft Graph. With the work that we've done here, EMS is now all on top of the Microsoft Graph. You get a command line for everything, but more importantly, because we're all on top of one particular graph, with one common API, you can now start to see where we're going to do things like take what we know from Office and their relationships. You can marry that, for example, with user device affinity. You can start to do things now because all that is in one place that we could never do in the past.
Yeah, it's an incredibly exciting time to be working on this stuff. And some of the functionality and the features that we're bringing to market are just becoming incredibly compelling at this point. And utterly unmatched by anybody else in the space.
Yeah, because it's all about data, and it's all about, you know, the apps that you have. To me, What I heard at Ignite 2 weeks ago was by far the most impressive things that customers in our area were the Microsoft Security Graph blew people away. Mm-hmm. And then this integrated set of capabilities that we've built on top of that help people to understand the power of these integrated solutions and the power of all the data that Microsoft has working for our customers 24/7.
Yeah. That brings us to the end of the Endpoint Zone for October. Thank you very much for watching. Kind of a long episode for this one. But we will see you next time. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the Endpoint Zone inside of iTunes and pick it up as an iTunes podcast. We will see you on the next episode.